Welcome along to the Racing Postcast brought to you by Tote Fantasy. My name's Sam Hart, stepping in as host and also Mr. Tote Fantasy this week as Jamie Benson has a little time away on a holiday. I'll be trying to build a team alongside my panel today for this weekend, so hopefully I can deliver as this week's captain. My panel this week are the Racing Post, Keith Melrose, and making his second appearance on the Postcast, Connor Fennelly, who should have plenty to say on the Irish action. But before we get to the Irish action, we're going to cover the action on ITV from Newcastle and Newmarket. And we start off with Newcastle with the opening race there, which is the 12:20, the Jennings Bet Festival Handicap, a Class 2 event over 6 furlongs. And Ratia tops the market at 3-1, Lethal Levi 11-2, Battle Dubai is 15-2, Magical Spirit 8-1, Coachella is 9-1, Soldiers Minute 9-1, Tide Crusade 9-1, and then Ali's Dance and Animate 10-1 and 12-1 respectively. Keith, this isn't part of our Tote Fantasy game. I will talk about that in just a second, but you say just before we come off on air that you quite fancy one in this.
Yeah, I do. It's a bit of a disappointment that it's not part of the fantasy game. I've been watching, Ratia, I know it's Graham Rodway's fantasy, and has a right chance. He won this race last year and coming back in form, but I've got a bit of a fancy for Soldier's Minute here. I've been watching how this horse is shaped this season, and in two races at York, both times he's running those big field races, he's been pretty unlucky both times. You know, not getting the breaks, not really having the running style for York, if I'm quite honest, you know, the way he picks his way through the field, that doesn't often get you much joy at York. Now, unfortunately, he's still got one of those split ratings, turf and all weather, so he's actually quite a bit higher on the all weather, but he absolutely deserves to be. He's the 10 best runs of his life have all been on the all weather, on Polytrack and Tapita. He's only run once at Newcastle when he was 50s for a big race there, so we can turf that one out. But clearly a horse that does better on the all weather, a horse that is really coming to hand and has got a falling mark to contend with as well. I just thought in this race, I didn't think there was an awful lot of depth to be honest. Behind Ratia, I think a lot of these horses are maybe looking at more of an autumn campaign, to be quite honest. So I just thought in a race that didn't have much depth, got a horse here that's well handicapped and coming back to form, I went for Soldier's Minute.
Yeah, Soldier's Minute, currently a 9-1 shout for Keith there. Connor, what about yourself in here? Kick us off with a winner.
Yeah, I think I found a difficult getaway from Ratia here. I loved his performance at Haydock the last day, and I thought he was value for more than the winning margin would suggest. I think it was a neck. I really liked how he shaped in the Hoden handicap on his return. And I actually think the key to him this season is they've been riding him a little bit more forward on his two starts. In the last couple of seasons, he tends to be ridden quite patiently at the back, and he invariably ends up being too keen and gets in a bit of trouble as well. This season, they've been riding him a bit more forward. And look, whether it's allowing him to stride on a bit more that makes him a bit more tractable, or whether he's just maturing, but he does seem a lot more tractable this season. He has some nice form at the track, including when winning this race last year in a fairly decisive manner of £5 lower. And a lot of rivals here haven't raced on this surface, and he was a good fourth in December at the track as well. He over-raced quite a bit that day. I don't think there's an awful lot of pace on here. Lethal Levi seems the only guaranteed one to go forward, and a few of these rivals can be quite keen in behind, so it could get a bit messy. So if he can pop out in behind Lethal Levi, I think that'd be a good position, and yeah, I reckon he'll be tough to fend off.
Okay, Ratia, yeah, current favourite 3-1, and listening to Graham Rodway this morning, he was very confident on Ratia as well. Let's go into a race then where it kicks off, well, on the race that we preview, the Tote Fantasy game. For those who haven't played the Tote Fantasy game, £7 to play, 7 races on Saturday. You've basically got to pick a horse in each race out of your 10,000 guineas budget. And look, if you're in the top 25% of winners on the day, you will be in with some prize money. And you can also enter the Racing Post Private League. All the details are down in the description of this podcast, and you'll also find it on the Racing Post and Tote Fantasy social pages. I've got all of the prices for the game that Jamie has kindly sent over to me, but let's go through the current prices with the best odds that you can find on the Racing Post website. So the 12.55 at Newcastle, the Chip Chase Stakes, 6 furlongs, Group 3 contest, and Tiber Flow, the 7-2 favourite, Brad Debris, 4-1, Mount Athos is 9-2 along with Spycatcher, Witch Hunter 5-1, Judicial 12-1, Iconic Moment 20-1, and outside the lot is Prince of Pillow at 33-1. Connor, you can start here. Who do you like in this Group 3 contest?
Yeah, I quite fancy Spycatcher. I was surprised he wasn't favourite now. I thought he ran a cracker when fourth in the Victoria Cup at Ascot there last month. He travelled really well on the far side and looked to be coming what actually looked like a winning challenge at Furlong Pole before it maybe slightly petered out. He drifted quite left under pressure as well. I think the drop back to six furlongs is a good move, even though he was very good over seven on his seasonal reappearance at the Tursk. But obviously this is a quite testing six furlongs. He did disappoint when going off 7-2 in this race last season. But I presume there was an issue as he had a pretty long break until this April afterwards. I haven't read anything that Carberg says, but I presume there was an issue. His form is very strong. Like he previously was only beaten ahead into third in the all-weather sprint championship stakes over course and distance last season, so there's no worries about the track. And he's a classy horse. Like he finished runner-up over this trip to Highfield Princess at York last season, and had Minzal in third, who obviously went on to be a Group 1 winner on Champions Day. And then Garris was a well-beaten fourth that day, and he went on to win two Group 3s. So, yeah, I was surprised Spycatcher now wasn't favourite.
Yeah, great case there made for Spycatcher, currently 9-2. And Keith, what I've got here from Jamie is that the top four in the market are going to cost around 1,250 guineas and probably 750 bar. Is there anything outside the top four in the market that you like, or are you with the top of the market?
Yeah, I'm with the top of the market, and I was listening to Connor there, and every time he said something about Skycatcher, I crossed something else off my list of things I was about to say. This horse, I really fancy this horse and think he should be favourite myself. You know, he made all the points that I would have made. Nothing really on top of it. I was even the one about, you know, flopping in this race last year and then going missing for 10 months. That was on there. What I would sort of, just all I would add is that run at Thirsk, where he duffed up some pretty smart horses, including Mount Athos, who's reappearing, having been 13-8 favourite that day. That was a career best. So let's not pretend this horse just has that run at York behind Highfield Princess, where he was fitter than a lot of the other horses in that race. He actually is a horse that might even be getting better. Seven at Ascot looked plenty for him. Six at Newcastle will be absolutely fine. They climbed 20 feet in the last 2.5 furlongs here, so it is a stiff six. Yeah, this is one of the bets of the day, and I'm glad we agree on it.
There you go, joint selection. This one will certainly be going into our team. It's Spycatcher 9-2 currently for the Chip Chase Stakes. Let's move on to the 130 then, and it's the 2 mile, just the extended 2 mile Northumberland Vase handicap. This is the consolation race for the Northumberland Plate Class 2 event, and Blow Your Horn is the 4-1 favourite. Happy Air 5-1. Vermascope is 15-2. Citizen General and Mostly Sunny are 8-1. Hadrianus is 9-1. 10-1. Bar, Keith Melrose, the floor is yours.
Yeah, it's not, the sprinters are my division, the stairs used to be, they're not anymore, so treat advisedly what I've come up with in this race. But one did catch my eye, and it was Mostly Sunny, who he's already won over course and distance, did so in November there, and he's only a pound higher now. He's got loads of experience in these sort of races, definitely going to see it out. Heather Main has a really good record at Newcastle, something like an 18% strike rate on the Tapita here, and is going really well generally. She's had 3 winners in the last fortnight from only about 10 runners, so plenty going for her. You know, stable going well, stable knows what sort of horse they need to send to Newcastle. Horse has got course and distance win, just a lot going for him in this race, and I thought 8-1 about Mostly Sunny was plenty big enough.
Mostly Sunny for Keith. Connor, you agreed on the last race together. Are you going to agree here, or are you elsewhere?
I'm elsewhere. I think that Legendary Day for Adrian Keatley is a decent each way play here. He finished well behind Blow Your Horn on his last start at Beverley, but his normal cheek pieces and tongue tie were taken off that day and replaced with a first time visor, which was a bit strange given all his best runs the last couple of seasons have come with at least a tongue tie on anyway. And he also was ridden a bit more forward than normal, so I'm pretty happy to put a line through that run. He's back in his usual headgear now, and if you look at his form prior to that, he would have to have a proper squeak here, I think. He has a flawless record at the track. He's landed 2 handicaps over 1.5 miles at Newcastle. He's 2 from 2 there, and he put in a real nice staying performance at Ripon in April on soft ground over 2 miles, and that form has worked out reasonably well. The second was a good fourth in the Chester Plate, and the third has been runner-up twice since and also landed a handicap at Goodwood earlier this month. On his penultimate start, he actually shaped pretty encouragingly over 1.5 miles at York, finished a really good effect in fifth, after not getting a clear run at a vital stage. Yeah, look, he loves this track, will relish the trip, and yeah, I'd be disappointed if he's not coming home well.
Okay, legendary day, 14-1 for Connor there, and Keith with Mostly Sunny. Both 750 guineas in the Tote Fantasy Games. We'll decide who's going in the team towards the end of the show. We'll move on to the feature at Newcastle, the 205 there, which is the Northumberland Plate Handicap. Again, the extended two miles, and wow, Golden Rules here has been absolutely gambled in. 7-2 favourite, Adjuvant 13-2, Post Impressionist is 13-2, Zoffy 8-1, Nathaniel Green 9-1, and double figures bar these. Connor, what do we make of this gamble?
Yeah, I think the owner was, I seen a clip on Twitter of the owner saying he'll win, so that might have prompted a few to side with him. But I think Adjuvant is one of the bets of the weekend here. I think he's a cracking chance. He ran an absolute stormer on his seasonal reappearance two starts ago at Newmarket. He was second HMS president, and that form has worked out spectacularly well. HMS president obviously finished a neck behind Okita Sushi and the Duke of Edinburgh at Royal Ascot. And the fourth, Jeremiah bolted up in a valuable handicap at Hamilton next time out. He backed it up then in fine style back at Newmarket the last day, and I thought he did incredibly well to put two lengths between him and the field at the finish that day, because he was held up off what was a pretty sedate gallop. And the closing sections were pretty rapid as well when compared to the other contests on the cards that were run over a shorter distance. Travelled through the race like a horse with plenty up his sleeve, and he got away with just a £4 rise as well. The runner-up, Ponzelius, went on and won at Goodwood next time out to further enhance the case. And just, he hasn't ran at this, on the surface before, which is a slight negative, but yeah, I think he's one of the best of the weekend. He has some cracking collateral form, and Billy Lochnan isn't a bad man to have in the saddle either.
He isn't, is he? £3 claim, Billy Lochnan, Adjuvant 13-2 currently. Keith, I was sent over the prices for the Tote Fantasy game last night with Post Impressionist at around 1,250 guineas, and Jamie said it's probably free pick with the rest at 750 bar, but I'd imagine Tote will be changing that after seeing this gamble.
Well, they might well be, yeah. This is an awfully short.
Yeah, it is.
Awfully short horse, this one, isn't it? So, I think he's there to be got at, I think, a little bit. I mean, you've got to be seriously ahead of your mark and look at how competitive and deep this race is. This is very much the sort of horse that I couldn't be entertaining at that sort of price for this competitive a race. So I'm looking down the betting and done the easy view for this race, so I'm a little bit sort of swayed by that. But the easy view makes one of those things that the AI sort of sometimes does, which is that it points out, or it certainly ignores, the little biases that take out an outside chunk of the way a human would look at the race. And what that data is saying in this time is, you've all got wrapped up in the Haggis first string, but Nathaniel Green is ostensible second string, really has got really good claims from a form perspective. Now he's got, Post Impressionist, that race that Post Impressionist won at York, Nathaniel Green was fourth, went off favourite in that race. Then he ran his second favourite in the November handicap, so clearly a very well-regarded horse that was going the right way towards the tail end of last season. He's come back this year with two pretty solid runs, but they've both looked a little bit like a means to an end, really. So he's turned up here now, and you know he's stoutly bred. He's trained by Haggis. Andrea Zini might be he's not Tom Marcand in terms of being Haggis's first string, but there's a fag caper between them in terms of who's. They're both great jockeys. There's not much to choose between them there. Nathaniel Green also drawn pretty well. Just think he's been ignored because of the trainer having ostensibly a bigger chance. So he was the one that jumped out at me.
Okay, yeah, Nathaniel Green has had some money come for this horse. I mean, a bit of a drift on Post Impressionist, whether that's just due to the gamble on Golden Rules currently. But look, Deborah Faulkner's going to train the likely favourite. Whether that horse drifts tomorrow, I'm not quite sure. But yeah, 7-2 looks awfully short, and the gents are both taking the horse on, Connor with Adjuvant and Keith with Nathaniel Green. Now that's Newcastle sewn up. Three races from Newmarket coming right up. Tote Fantasy, proudly sponsoring the Racing Postcast. Daily fantasy racing with real cash prizes up for grabs. A cross between fantasy football and the play spot. Who's in your stable? Visit tote.co.uk/fantasy to find out more. Terms and conditions apply. Welcome back to part two of the Racing Postcast brought to you by Tote Fantasy. We've covered four races from Newcastle. We now move to Newmarket, where we are on the July course there. It's great to see the July course back in action. And we start off there with the Maureen Britton Memorial Empress Filly Stakes, a listed race, and it's a 6 furlong contest there with Star of Mystery, the 5-4 favourite. What a Question, a recent Goodwood winner that I saw and was very impressive, 9-2. Indispensable, 8-1. And Break My Heart is 10-1. Point of Attack, 11-1. 12-1 and bigger about the other five in the field. Keith, Star of Mystery, lots been said, especially during Royal Ascot, but even prior to that, about the form of the Charlie Appleby yard. I think we mentioned it on the Friday postcast during Royal Ascot, but is it a real worry?
I'm not massively worried about it. They're not having the best of years, but you know, they're still, the good ones are still coming out and winning. They had a novice winner at Haydock early June that was a horse that they really trusted to be extremely good, and it looked extremely good. No, I'm not massively concerned about it. But what I do think in this race is that, you know, you've horses that have come out and run well twice are getting overstated to those that have come out and run well once. Look at Star of Mystery, who, that's, say that debut at Doncaster on the 3rd of June didn't exist and she just came out, and won that race at Haydock by 11 lengths. She'd be favourite for this still, don't get me wrong. She wouldn't be 5-4. I think people look at that horse having that little bit of extra experience as a massive advantage, and it is an advantage, but it also means on the other hand that they've shown a little bit more, whereas I think you've hinted at it there, I was extremely impressed with What a Question when she won at Goodwood. That was sort of different species territory when she won that race. You know, she really did give them a good kicking in behind, just looked like she couldn't have done it more easily. And furthermore, she went off favourite 100-30, yes, but she was a bit of a drifter. She opened 5-2 and eased back out, and you know, the late money does tend to tell a lot with the Johnston yard, and it certainly did in previous iterations, and I don't see any reason it would change now. So that does speak a little bit of a horse they think has got more to give once she tightens up for that. Just looked like a real athlete at Goodwoods, and I think the only reason she's not closer to Star of Mystery is other ones had a second run, and as I say, that comes with minuses as well as pluses, which probably override it. I just don't think that, I think that gap's too big between them.
Absolutely, I completely agree. I was really impressed by What a Question did at Goodwood that day. 9-2 currently. Connie, you've got to say on two of our three new market races. What do you have to say about this one?
It's pretty boring here now. I turned this race upside down trying to pull Star of Mystery, but I kept coming back to her. Like, she couldn't have been more impressive last time I was at Haydock. Like, once the penny dropped at the furlong pole, you know, it looked like she literally sprouted wings. I thought the drop back to 6 furlongs helped her a lot. She can be quite headstrong in the early stages of her races. She's been very strong on the clock and bought her start so far. She was second to Carla's Way at Doncaster on her first start, and I don't think she let the form down at all in the Albany. Again, she was quite keen, and she wasn't beaten all that far into 8. What a Question was pretty taken at Goodwood, but I think we're going to see a top draw performance here from Star of Mystery. The Apple V form, it wouldn't bother me too much. Look, it might temper enthusiasm slightly when you're taking a sharp price, but I think Star of Mystery is very smart.
Okay, Star of Mystery for Connor. I mean, it's going to be an interesting one with regards to the Tote Fantasy game, because, like I say, there's a fair few horses this weekend that are going to cost a fair chunk of our budget, and Star of Mystery could be around 3,750 guineas of our budget, and there are plenty of other horses throughout the cards that are going to cost a lot, including the race that we move on to next, which is the 1:15 at Newmarket, the 1.5 mile Fred Archer Stakes, a listed contest. New London tops the market, 11-10 favourite, and currently a 5,000 guineas purchase in the Tote Fantasy game. Al Assi is 2-1, Kamari's 11-2, Phantom Flight 9-1, and Outbox 33-1. Keith, you're the man that's only going to have a say on this race, and I'm not sure we're going to be able to get New London into the game with a 5,000 guineas purchase, so I'm hoping you like something else.
Well, yeah, I mean, the reason Connor's sitting out this one is because of those doubts over the top two. New London, you know, not been seen since second in Ledger. Al Assi, been seen once since 2021, and that was over a year ago. I think with those doubts in mind, you can have a go with something beyond them, and I think Kamari fits the bill there. He's actually, on terms of ability-wise, you know, if you were just pricing this up purely on ability, he'd be 11-2 anyway. And he doesn't have the doubts that the other two horses have on him. You know, he had a couple of goes at Maidan early in the year, and then he came back and it was a little bit disappointing at Newbury, no question, but the form he'd been showing in Dubai over the winter suggested that he has retained on his ability. And now he comes, as I say, he would be 11-2 even if Al Assi in New London didn't necessarily have those big doubts over them, or certainly had much less minor doubts if they were just, you know, a standard reappearance from the autumn. You know, New London's had his win done, he's got a tongue tie on as well. It's, they're just not horses you want to back at those prices, given those doubts. And we said something like similar about Pile Driver last week, didn't we? So prepare to be surprised, but I certainly think with the form of Kumari shown, there's room to have a go with him.
Absolutely, I completely agree with you, and it could even be one for our stewards' inquiry rule on the game, because if one of those top two in the market do flop, and you know one does put up an impressive display, we take the points for the horse that puts up the impressive display if we were to finish second. So it's definitely one in the game that you could play that, and I'm totally with you. I think Kumari's a worthy bet in here. Let's move on to the 150 then, the final race we're covering on the ITV card, which is the 7 furlong Cavani Menswear Fashion Face Off Frenzy Criterion Stakes. Probably didn't need to read the whole race there, but that's a Group 3 contest, and like I say, 7 furlongs the trip, and Aldari 7-4 favourite, Pogo 100-30, Berkshire Shadow 9-2, Jumbi 5-1, Audience is 14-1, Sam Maximus 28-1. Didn't have a say on the last race, Connor, so you can start here.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Berkshire Shadow a big price here. I think you can oppose Aldari coming off a 40-month break, and Pogo has yet to really fire this season, although he did win this race last year. Yeah, Berkshire Shadow I thought was a decent alternative. The drop back to 7 I think looks a good move. He didn't seem to quicken all that well in the Queen Anne, but ran well to finish 5th, and he obviously ran a cracker when 3rd in the Lockinge behind Modern Games. His form is working out well from earlier in the season too. He beat Angel Blue at Wolverhampton and Chichester at Newcastle. Both of them have won listed contests since. Don't think the drop and trip should inconvenience him. I think it'll actually benefit him. He has won over 7 before, and he even won over 5 as a 2-year-old. He has plenty of speed. I just hope they make plenty of use of him, and this doesn't develop into a crawl, as there doesn't seem to be money to make the run in here. But if it doesn't develop into a crawl and they do ride him forward, I think he's a real decent chance here.
Berkshire Shadow, yeah, I mean, 9-2 is a really fair price. Considering Aldari, you may have a few worries about the ground, Keith, and Pogo is very consistent at Newmarket, mainly running on the Rolly Mar, but you know, very consistent on the July course as well.
Yeah, yes, but as Conor already says, he hasn't really caught light yet this season. You know, he went across to the Breeders' Cup in November, ran okay, by one on time in the mile, but you know, he's come back this year and run, you know, we're talking £20 below his best on 3 runs. Plenty of time to get fit, plenty of time to get his form back, and not done it. And Aldari had that break too. I was, for the first 10 minutes I spent looking at this race, I was all set to think the same way and lean the same way Connor has by going for Berkshire Shadow. Not quite as confident on the drop back to 7 as Connor is, but I was ready to have that, put that tip up. And then I saw the price of Sam Maximus, who's the absolute rag of the lot here at 28-1, and thought that I might, that's just a bit too big, that. This horse, he was on my way down last year as a young sprinter who was improving all the time. He won a listed race over 6 furlongs on the July course, got up very late to beat Vadrim, who of course since has gone on to do some really good things. Just gets up in the last stride, said at the time, you know, he's barely a 6 furlong horse, he's definitely going to suit. Certainly a stiffer 6 as you can give him, and maybe even 7. Next time he ran at the Curragh, again, stiffish 6, isn't it? And he was second there only to Art Power, who loves going over. I think he's unbeaten in Ireland or something, Art Power. So he's a very good traveller. This horse, best work late again to go and take second in that race. And on his reappearance at Salisbury, you know, easy to back, weakened in the last furlong. That was a horse that was probably just getting fit. So now we've got him turning up over a trip that might well suit him, at a track where he's won a listed race before. And in terms of ability, yes, he's not on the level of Pogo and Aldari, but he's only really on the adjusted ratings, less than half a stone off these guys. He shouldn't be 28s, he shouldn't be 4s, to be fair, but he shouldn't be 28s, and I thought Sam Maximus a little bit, and I'd have thought he was a good stewards inquiry runner, but you made a very good point, actually, about Kildare in the previous race, but I was thinking Sam Maximus for the stewards inquiry.
Okay, we'll have a discussion about that shortly, but both the gents are taking on the top two at the market with Aldari and Pogo at the top there, but Berkshire Shadow for Connor and Sam Maximus, the outside of the lot, 28-1, should be a fair bit shorter, according to Keith. In the Criterium Stakes, that's the UK action all done and dusted. We'll be having a trip over to the Irish Sea in the final part coming right up.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Tote Fantasy. Sam Hart, Keith Melrose and Connor Fennelly taking you through the weekend action. We've got a big weekend over in Ireland, a three-day meeting at the Curragh for the Irish Derby Festival, and looking like it's going to be a really, really good card with some good races to go through. We're only going to go through the big Group 1 races, however Connor might have a say on some of the other races towards the back end of the show. And the first race we look at is on the Saturday, and it's the 3:25 at the Curragh. It's the Pretty Polly Stakes over 10 furlongs, Group 1 event for the fillies and mares. And above the curve, and Via Sistina holds sway at the top of the market, 5-2 joint favourites. Never Ending Story 9-2, Ross Carberry is 7-1, Insinuendo is 16-1, 20-1, and bigger about the rest of them. Keith, I'll start with you on this one before I come to Connor. What have you taken note of in here?
It's not a race that I'm massively sort of in green with all the horses, and Connor will have probably a stronger view than me, but I like the way Via Sistina's going. The way she's improving really on over the last sort of 6 months, 9 months or so that she's run, you know, came back, does that sort of thing that George Bowie does. She's been all over to try and get her as much black type as possible, won a Group 3 at Toulouse, and then came back and just basically really hosed up in the Dahlia Stakes at the Guineas meeting. Looking, you know, I like that she's got that little bit of extra speed. You know, a lot of these races tend to get quite tactical. She is an uncomplicated ride and has that form of a shorter going the right way. I was faintly interested in her, but it's not a sort of race I would specialise in.
Okay, let's hope that Connor, our Irish man, has a more confident selection. Connor, who do you like in the Pretty Polly Stakes?
Yeah, first of all, this looks a fascinating renewal of the race. I think it's one of the races of the weekend. There's so many interesting strands to all the form, and it's a real stacked field. Look, Via Sistina couldn't have been more impressive at Newmarket the last day under a typically stylish ride from Jamie Spencer. I mean, the way she travelled, she just looked a filly in the prime of her career. Spencer didn't have to move a muscle; she just breezed to the front a furlong out. That was in soft ground, but she has plenty of form and decent ground as well. She was second in a Group 3 at Newmarket last year. I think it was good ground when she won at France as well. This is a big step up though, and she faces some proper consistent rivals at this level here. I think this is going to get tactical, and I think Above the Curve will be up in the van, and I think Ryan Moore could stack them up in this race and steal it from the front. There's no obvious pace angle, and she made all in the pre-Corrida last month. She's just so uncomplicated. You can put her anywhere you want in the race. And I think a la Luxembourg in the Tattersall's Gold Cup, I think Moore could do something similar here. Ross Carberry is worth a mention as well for last season's winning trainer, Paddy Toomey. She was third in this race last year, but was actually disqualified afterwards. Wayne Larden weighed in £5 light, but it subsequently transpired that there was an error with the scales. She's run some smashing races in Group 1s this season, including the Irish St. Ledger, and was fifth behind Emily Upjohn in Champions Day at Ascot. Mm-hmm. She warmed up with a nice win in the Munster Oaks earlier this month as well. But I just think, I think Above the Curve is the one to be with. She's just incredibly consistent. She won the Blandford Stakes at this track last season as well. So I just think this is all set up for another masterclass from Ryan Moore.
Yeah, she beat some really decent fillies and mares over in France in the pre-Corrida at Saint-Cloud, and obviously beat Nashua, who we see on Friday evening at Newcastle Golf Short Odds, so we'll see what she can do. But yeah, I think Above the Curve, like Connor says, a very consistent filly. But it is a really fascinating contest. Looking forward to watching that one on Saturday. Let's go on to the final race that we're actually going to preview as part of our main previews on the postcast. It's the big one on Sunday, the 3:40, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Derby. A mile and a half here, Group 1 event for just the 3-year-old. August Rodin, a little bit of a drift. Now 4-9. I saw this horse at 3-1 on only yesterday. White Birch is 11-2. Spreewell is 6-1. Up and Under 14-1. Proud and Regal 33-1. and 40-1 and bigger about the rest of them. I saw the article, you can go check this out. It's Conor Fennelly's article with John Murphy's son, George, I believe, who talked about White Birch's chances and what a wonderful story this is. And if you want to check that out, you can sign up to the Racing Post Members Club. There is actually a competition going on for Racing Post Members Club. You can click the link in the description, and all you have to do is enter your email for your chance to win a full year's worth of Racing Post Members Club. Certainly worth getting involved with, so do quickly go and click on the link down below. But a really good article, Connor, and obviously it was great to go and meet the team.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a brilliant operation down there, and you know, they've won a champion chase as well back in 2006 with Newmill, and they've kind of focused on the Flash in recent years, and with a lot of success as well. And White Birch looks to have a smashing chance, I think. I seen August Rodin priced up at 1-3 there yesterday as well, and I couldn't believe it. He has two rivals here in White Birch and Spreewell, who, although we're well beaten that episode, have definite plausible excuses in behind them. They've all had hard luck stories. I definitely think both can get much closer, and I think we could have a cracking race in our hands. And it's much more competitive than the betting suggests, even taking in the drift out to 4-9. Like the interference Spreewell suffered at Epsom, I think, has been understated in the aftermath of the race. He was nearly brought to a standstill, yeah, by a resting passenger just as he was winding up what looked like a really nice looking run. And then military order came on the outside, sandwiched him in. It got really messy now. He was chopped up badly. And all that was happening just as August Rodin was getting into full swing on the outside. And just as Spreewell got clear, then passenger gave him another significant nudge, and he veered to his right. He actually nearly unseated Shane Foley. He also didn't handle the track at all. He was completely at sea on the bends, constantly changing his legs, coming off and on the bridle. The curls suit him much better. I definitely think he is overpriced, and I don't think much people copped how bad of a passage he got at Epsom. I also don't think White Birch handled the track all that well. He got edgy beforehand, and he lost any chance of winning anyway with his break from the stalls. He was dead last at the 3 furlong pole in a derby that developed into a real sprint finish. It's hard enough to come from the rear at Epsom typically, but particularly when they go as slow as they did out in front in the derby, I thought he'd done remarkably well to finish third. And the way he flew past the Foxes and Spreewell at the finish, like, he was full of running. The curve will suit him a lot better as well. And I think he's still improving. He was unlucky in the Dante. He was racing on the wrong side of the track as well. And he improved past those horses again in the derby. And I still think there's a bit more left in him. Like, if he's within striking distance once they straighten up, he won't be easy to fend off. My slight preference between the two will be White Birch, but I think both him and Spreewell have real life chances of getting a lot closer to August Rodin. Like, I'd be happy enough to back both of them and couple them, depending on how the market goes. I think August Rodin is very opposable at this price. I just think he's facing two rivals that should have got a lot closer to him in Epsom with a better run through, and I just can't believe how short he is.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree. I think 4-9, even though there's been a slight drift, is still fairly short against two rivals who could certainly turn things around on a course that could certainly suit. And Paul Keighley was mentioning straight after the Epsom Derby about Spreewell being almost stopped to a halt, and I think Paul Keighley's going to be with this horse again this weekend, Spreewell, but 6-1 may be a fair price, and I think I'll be taking that. There may even be sort of without favourite markets that might be worth having a look at. Keith, looking at this, I mean, do you agree with Connor in terms of the fact that August Rodin is just far too short?
Well, I agree with this about everything else Connor said, to be honest, but I don't necessarily agree with that. I you watch that derby back, and I just thought August Rodin did bloody well to win it, to be honest. You know, yes, Spreewell didn't get much of a run through, yes, White Birch had far too much to do, but ultimately August Rodin had absolutely no right to win that from where he was, and he did. And we saw last week how good a horse he was reeling in King of Steel. I think it might be a case that August Rodin was the only good horse in that derby. We're very lucky to get more than one good horse in a derby these days, and I think August Rodin might have been it. So I can definitely much see him. You know, I'm not going to sit there and go he's one to oppose at 4-9 all day, but this is Whirlpool card. The cut on all the races at the cut on Sunday are Whirlpool, and I think that's the way I'll be playing it. I am a fan of Spreewell. I backed him in the derby. He did get that horrible run through. The cutter should suit him a lot better. He looked very good when he won the old Derrinstown Derby trial at Leopardstown the time before. He is definitely going. And how I play him in the Whirlpool, I'm yet to decide. You know, the swingers, I bet I like to play in the Whirlpool. I just need to find another horse for him to go with, to be honest. Because if you find any way if August Rodin blows up or whatever, as long as you get him out your two on the swinger, and the swinger's just getting any two horses in the first three, then you're gonna get a really good return. So Sproul's going in mine. I might just back him outright anyway. In fact, I backed him at the post the Monday after the Derby for this race, so I'll let that ride a little bit, but I will play him a little bit on Whirlpool too, considering Proud and Regal, who was a very good juvenile and has been, he flopped when he was favourite for that Derren Strand Derby trial, and then probably a no right to runner in a Guineas when he was seventh behind Paddington. This is probably more his trip. He might be the one I stick in a swinger with Sproul, but beyond Sproul being for me quite clearly the danger of August Rodin, I can't see huge things wrong with this market.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Whirlpool was so good during Royal Ascot, and I agree with Keith, I'll be playing that with the Curragh again on Sunday, but the swinger was quite friendly to me during Royal Ascot, so I may have to follow Keith in here with a swinger on the Irish Derby. And am I right, Connor, in saying that this will be Aidan O'Brien's 15th Irish Derby, but Ryan Moore's first, is that correct?
That's correct, and also it'll be Aidan's, if he wins it, it'll be Aidan's 100th classic, European classic, so that'll be a big, that's phenomenal really, isn't it?
It is phenomenal, and the master trainer, look, he's got a short price favourite in the Irish Derby, and he'll be hoping to win that come 3:40 on Sunday. One classic that Aidan O'Brien won't be winning this weekend, maybe the 1:15 at Hamburg on Sunday, which is the German Derby, a Group 1 for the three-year-old colts and fillies. That's what's allowed out in Germany, over a mile and a half. And Keith, we mentioned Whirlpool just a minute ago, and this is part of the Whirlpool races.
It is, yes. So it's all eight races at the cutout on Sunday are Whirlpool, and they're including one race from Hamburg, the Deutsches Derby, which is a really interesting thing. Actually, I love a German middle distance race. They're more informative over here than is often given credit for. I'm not going to pretend I'm across the German form at this stage well enough to give a selection, but because it's Whirlpool, it's probably going to be quite a popular betting medium for British and Irish punters. And I just wanted to point out something when I had a look at the card that came out. We've got a horse here called Straight, trained by Andreas Waller. I'd be expecting that horse to go a favourite and potentially quite a short price favourite. Just wanted to mention that the last race he won, race at Cologne, called the Union Rennen. This is the German Derby. That race is very much the German Dante. You know, it's a real strong trial for this race. Going back, three of the last five winners of that race have gone on to win the Deutsche Derby on their next start, and only four of them actually run. One didn't even get to Hamburg for this race. And going back to 2010, every horse that's come from this race to go in the Union Rennen to run the German Derby has either won or been a beaten favourite. And the last horse to win it by as far as Straight did, he won it by five lengths. The last horse to win it by that far was Novelist, who won the King George a couple of starts later, but actually got beat in the German Derby. He was second. If it's a race where if you're looking at a bet, try and be informed by that Union Rennen, because it's almost always a really, really strong guide to the German Derby. I'm chuffed to see it in Whirlpool. I'm chuffed for it to be, you know, for Whirlpool to pick out some races that are a little bit more of a beaten track. Just while I don't have a strong fancy at this stage, there is a very consistent form line that runs through these races.
Yeah, it's certainly worth watching on Sunday. The 1:15 at Hamburg. I might be good with my French form and pronunciation, but no good with the German pronunciation and form. But I'll have to be giving that a watch at 1:15 on Sunday. Before we get other selections for the weekend, I'm actually going to do the Tote Fantasy team first for the Saturday, just that we can get that all done and dusted. And we've been a bit cheeky, and during the ad break we actually went through the team. So I'm going to run through the rough guide team, and then we'll pick our stable star and steward's inquiry for this weekend. So in time order, in the 12:45 the 12:40 at Newmarket, we've got What a Question. 12:55 at Newcastle, Spycatcher. 1:15 Newmarket, Kamari. 1:30 Newcastle, Mostly Sunny, that was for Keith. 1:50 Newmarket, Berkshire Shadow for Connor. Nathaniel Green in the 2:05 at Newcastle, and then to finish things off, the last race is the 3:25 at the Curragh, and we've gone with Above the Curve for our Irishman Connor Fenley. And I think we're all happy with that team. We've now got to decide who our stable star will be and who will be our steward's inquiry. And I've made a case that we could have Kamari as the steward's inquiry here. Whether we're happy with that, I don't know.
It's not. It's very sensible. It's the right sort of size of field for the race, and you know, just the makeup of that field as well. He makes a lot of sense as the stewards.
Okay, stewards' inquiry there, and the stable star. I mean, we can make a decision on this, but the one that you're both agreeing on was Spycatcher. I don't know whether we want to make that the stable star.
He was probably one of my. In fact, he would be my strongest fantasy across the this Tote Fantasy races, and you know, Connor basically said everything that I wanted to see on the horse too. So I'd be surprised if he wasn't right up there.
Yeah, Connor, one of your best bets of the weekend, is he?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Perfect, we'll whack him in. So I'll quickly run through as quick as I can. What a question, the 12:40 at Newmarket. Spycatcher, 12:55 at Newcastle with the stable star attached. Stewards Inquiry on Kamari in the 1:15 at Newmarket. Mostly Sunny in the 1:30 at Newcastle. Berkshire Shadow in the 1:50 at Newmarket. Nathaniel Green, the 2:05 at Newcastle. And Above the Curve in the 3:25 at the Curragh. And you can get involved with the Tote Fantasy game. £7 to play. The link is down below in the description. Good fun to play. Join the Racing Post Private League. There are over 140 of you playing it during Royal Ascot. So look, we can get plenty of you in that league once again. And a good bit of fun. You can come and take on the Racing Postcast team every Saturday. Let's get other selections for the weekend then. I'm sure Connor will have a few from mine. I'm sure Keith will have a few from elsewhere. So Keith, I'll start with you. What else have you got for our viewers this weekend?
Yeah, so I've got one on Saturday and one on Sunday for this weekend. On Saturday, I'm looking at Windsor at the 5:05. Now, I think this is a race that I'm keen to have a bet in it, and there's one horse that stands out as a potential bet to me. Although there's one thing against him is that he's had he was quite a bit of a drifter in his last start, and I'm always a little bit reluctant about backing horses that drifted last time. But Spring Bloom won what I thought was a really good race at Newmarket in the middle of May there. You know, Ancient Times has gone on fourth in that race and run some good races since, and just liked a bit of that form. It was an improved effort from that horse, and the fact he went off 20-1 at Epsom next time just was very strange to me. It was a very good race as it happened. You know, Badry won it. Apollo One who finished second in the Wokingham last week. He was second in that race. So it's a pretty strong bit of form, but he was never in it. He missed the break and you know, just could not get involved at all around Epsom. This is much more his thing. Back at 5 furlongs too, which is where a lot of his form is. So I'll be watching Spring Bloom. It might be one of those horses where I'll wait until I see what the market's doing near the off before I go in, given that sort of weakness last time. But I think this course of discipline has got a right chance, drawn one as well, which tends to help at Windsor. So he's one I'll be looking out for. And then on Sunday, we've got big race at Uttoxeter, the Summer Cup, 75 grand race. And Christian Williams has decided he wants to come out and play. And as a result, people are running, you know, it's Christian Williams in a big 3 mile handicap chase. Whether it's February or July, folk are going to run scared. And Captain Ord is that horse that they're doing it with. He's had a prep run to run in this race, but he's a horse that I've never thought this horse is a real proper dour stayer. You know, he's a 3 miler rather than a stayer, if you know what I mean. This is 3 mile 2, and to be honest, a lot of the field, it's a lot of the old, it's the summer horses. They're generally exposed. You know, they're horses that aren't going to be going ahead, and for that reason, I thought Kinondo Kwetu was very interesting, a horse that had been doing really well during the sort of late summer and autumn last year, ended up winning a couple of good races in the autumn and looked like one of those novices that was going to go and do some damage in the spring. He finished third in the 3 mile 1 race on Grand National Day behind Midnight River. That was a good effort. And then he's come out since and won over the same course and distance on that Friday night meeting they have at Aintree in May. In a race where you've got a lot of these old exposed horses and your favourite is a Christian Williams horse that's been laid out, and yes, that horse is a great chance, but they're almost always overbet. Kinondo Kwetu was a smashing bet for me in the Summer Cup on Sunday.
Okay, Windsor, Saturday, 5:05, Spring Bloom, and Uttoxeter Sunday, 3:12, Kinondo Kwetu. Currently 9-2 about Kinondo Kwetu, but no prices available just yet about Spring Bloom at Windsor. Connor, I mentioned earlier, but a fantastic weekend at the Curragh coming up. I've been over a couple of times for, and it really is a cracking 3-day meeting. Loads of good 2-year-olds on display as well. Some future stars. What else should listeners be looking out for at the Curragh?
Yeah, well, one of my best bets of the weekend now comes in the 5:10 on Saturday, courtesy of the Murphy Stable, which I visited during the week, Space Age. He probably ran in one of the hottest maidens in all of last season. The winner hasn't run since Sierra Blanca, but he was second in a Group 3 behind Cairo before he ran. You had Spreewell in second and White Birch in fifth. Like, it is an incredible maiden to have two classic horses come over. He finished sixth. He's only beaten three quarters of a length. He was only three quarters of a length behind White Birch. Travelled like a really smart horse that day. I think the heavy ground just caught him out slightly. His first run of the season was a real good effort when second to Sub Zero at the track, who's rated 82. He was a hostage to a typical Ryan Moore masterclass in that race from the front. They went very slow, and the sedate pace and the drop back to seven furlongs just caught him out slightly. But he rallied really well to be only beaten a neck in the finish. He finished with a serious rattle. A mile on better ground should see him in the best of light. And I actually think he can progress to be quite smart for the Murphy team. He'd be one of my best bets of the weekend. I also fancy on Saturday Newfoundland in the 5:40 for Joseph O'Brien. He had some nice form last season, most notably when beating Como Park at Navan over 1.5 miles. Thought he ran a cracker in last season King George handicap at Royal Ascot. He was staying on really strongly up the inside. Late on, before he got badly cut off by Savvy Knight, he again didn't get much luck at the Curragh last month. He was constantly running into traffic in the mile and three quarter handicap. He was never able to build up a head of steam. He'd done well to finish sixth in the end. I think he wants this 2 mile trip, and he was dropped a pound for the last day, which was generous. And a first time cheek pieces are an interesting addition for him as well. Couple for the Sunday in the handicaps. I think Laugh and Minish could be suited by the drop back to 5 furlongs in the Rockingham at 3 o'clock, and I think Laylas could run well at what should be a big price in the Ragus handicap at 6 o'clock for Andrew McNamara. I think to step up to a mile and a half will see him to best effect. He made some real nice headway off a slow pace at the track over a mile and a quarter last month. And then lastly, good old Salt and Stall should run a good race at a big price in the 4:15. He's been dropped £3 recently, which I thought was pretty generous. I'd ignore his last run at Goran Park, and I thought he ran really well when 8th in the Emerald Mile handicap last month. I think he has another big pot in him.
Okay, look, potential lucky 15 from the Curra there from Connor. A few selections to look out for. It is a very busy weekend over there at the Curra, and like I say, some top class action, and looking forward to watching the action there. Now, before we go, we have to get the best bets of the weekend, and the nap this weekend for you, Connor, is?
I'm agonising whether to put up Space Age at the Curra or Spycatcher.
Space Age, mate. I've decided for you, it's Space Age.
I'll go with Space Age. So I think he's a good man. I think he could develop into a real smart horse for the Murphy stable now.
Okay, Space Age for Connor. I wonder who Keith Melrose's nap might be.
Soldier's Minutes. No, it says Spycatcher in the 12:55 in Newcastle, the Chip Chase.
Spycatcher and the Chip Chase for Keith. Yeah, look, it's going to be a fantastic action all over the place this weekend with Newcastle, Newmarket and also the Curra. So do gamble responsibly if having a bet this weekend. Big thanks to Connor. Big thanks to Keith. As always, Bruce will be back in the chair. It's been a while since he's back in the hot seat. He'll be back next week, and I'm hoping Jamie Benson will be back to guide you through Tote Fantasy as well. So do check the game out. Link is in the description. But as always, thanks for listening and enjoy the weekend.